Hey, I'm Cody from Unqualified Gamers, a podcast member of the Gunna Geek Network, just like the one you're listening to right now. The opinions expressed are those of each individual. Check out other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com and get ready because geekiness begins in 3, 2, 1.
Welcome to Gallifrey Public Radio, a podcast dedicated to everything Doctor Who. Join us each week for discussion ranging from Hartnell to Capaldi. I'm your host, Jay Witten.
Did you just say womp womp?
And my co-host, Haley Malley.
I am a ray of sunshine.
And Keir Hansen.
Flashy lights, Christmas, woo!
Spoilers.
We will be discussing news and rumors, as well as episodes that have already aired. But don't worry, if we get into anything too serious, we'll warn you again.
We have a special supplement to add to this week's GPR broadcast. We are joined in the GPR studios this evening by the title you're working by these days, our social director?
No, I am the press and media liaison.
Oh, that's even better. That's almost guru status. We are joined by Andre Tessier of the Long Island convention circuit, and specifically Long Island Who, which is coming around to its third annual event coming this November. Andre, how are you this evening, sir?
I'm doing well. In fact, it's LI Who 3, and our tagline this year is Now with More Velvet.
And it has to be with more velvet because we've got a much larger space to fill this year. So we have high hopes.
Absolutely.
Jay did not get the opportunity to join us when we attended last year's con in November.
We missed him.
We did.
And I'm sure he's hanging his head in shame right now at the realization that he missed such a wonderful time that we had.
I am, but see, now you guys had to move into the larger venue just to contain all of my awesome, because I will be there this year.
Yes. Oh, outstanding.
Yes, there's that special Texan ego suite off to the side there. Well, one of the things that I did want to make sure that we get a chance to launch right off here, because we tend to talk up LI Who quite a bit on GPR, just because it really took me by surprise in attendance by not only the organization, credit to yourself, Kendi,
thank you,
and company.
Well, it's not just the two of us. I mean, everybody that works for us is really committed to the convention and, is well prepared and does their job well.
Okay. Well, that leads me right to my first question, which is for people who are, East Coast natives and are starting to try and determine what cons, specifically, who specific cons that they want to attend for the laying out their calendar year, what would you consider to be the elements or aspects of LI Who that sets it apart from other Who exclusive conventions?
Well, let me tell you a little bit about LI Who and our leader, Ken. I wouldn't say motto, credo, his philosophy, if you will. Mm. The philosophy of LI Who is we do the convention that we would want to go to. We like having the ability to actually meet the guests. You go to a convention, and I'm just going to say New York Comic Con, just to throw that out there because it's close to where here.
Sure, right? Sure. No other reason.
I like New York Comic Con. However, the closest you're going to get to a guest is sitting in a room with several hundred or several thousand of your like-minded fellows, or on an autograph line where you get, 3 seconds to, say, "Hi, I love your work," as whoever it is signing, and the, attendee tells you, "Thank you very much. Please move along." Mm. Yeah. Those conventions are not what we like to do. We like to do a convention where you can ask your question. If you have a question for Paul McGann about what was the weather like in Vancouver during the movie shoot, you're probably going to be able to ask him at our convention. definitely something that, you know, you go to a Doctor Who convention, you're going to want to talk about Doctor Who. We have, I think it's something over 200 hours of programming planned for this year. And, you know, there's going to be, you're going to be able to talk about cosplay if that's your, if that's something you'd like. If you like to talk about David Tennant's hair.
Well, who doesn't?
I'm sure you're going to find like-minded people to talk about that at our convention. You know, it's definitely something that if you're a Doctor Who fan, we're going to find something for you to really enjoy at our convention. That's something that we take upon ourselves.
That's awesome. I mean, that's one thing that we have talked about before on the show is just that with the smaller conventions, you do have that ability to meet the talent as opposed to, hey, I got to stand in a room about 700 feet from them. It was awesome. I loved it. You know, because, you know, we've been to those conventions where it's like, hey, I swear I saw Stan Lee walk over there. Like, you know, I waved and he looked in the general direction I was. And as cool as it is to see some of those real big names that you're not going to get at the small conventions, there's something special about it. Like, you know, just walking
up
somebody.
Well, I wouldn't say that. I mean, Paul McGann isn't a small name.
Well, no, but that's very true. But yeah, you know, there is something special about, you know, even just meeting set designers or something and having the chance to talk with them. And, you know, and like you said, you guys do wind up with much larger names than you would expect at a small convention. So, you know, and small in finger quotes here, but, you know, it's much more enjoyable to go and actually have a chance to interact with the talent instead of just like, no, I was at the convention they were at. I never got to see them, but I was there.
Well, I mean, that's what we definitely try to do. We definitely try to, you know, people talk about the con experience. We try to give them our con experience, you know, with actually meeting the guests, you know, with being able to take, you know, a minute while taking a photo and, you know, express to, you know, our guests, you know, to any of them, how much you appreciated their work. And I'll tell you what, Doctor Who actors and, you know, Doctor Who crew members are some of the nicest people you're ever going to meet.
Mm. Yeah, without question. And that's definitely something you get a feel for. As you mentioned, being in such close proximity and being able to have more of an open conversation with them, whether it's during a panel or even sort of a passing in corridors and things, you know, they'll grab their handlers by the shoulder and stop so that they can have a conversation with someone who's wearing some cosplay that catches their attention or whatever the case may be. Speaking about the guest lineup, what have we got so far? I mean, the news has been coming at us at faster and faster increments over the last couple of months, even up to this week. We've had a couple of great announcements added on for both previous Doctors and companions alike.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me just go down the list that I got here in front of me. You know, we have Paul McGann. He's our Doctor. He's coming back, and I don't know if you're aware of this, but during Elihu, it's his birthday.
Yeah, I remember all the glasses of red wine that were being purchased for him at the bar last year.
And, you know, he actually has said he can't think of anywhere else he'd rather spend his birthday. Now, we have Noel Clarke, you know, who played Mickey Smith. Mm-hmm. Now, Noel Clarke, of course, played Ricky in the alternate in Pete's World.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, he's also a writer and a director. You know, he has written, you know, Kidhood, Adulthood, and directed them. But he's also written Torchwood, a Torchwood episode.
Wow.
Yeah. We have Camille Corderi, you know, who, of course, played Jackie Tyler, you know, the indomitable Jackie Tyler.
So having the two of them on a panel together is just going to be fascinating display.
Of course, they're actually very good friends. Yeah. I believe Camille's is a godmother to Noel's child.
Oh, and wow.
Anytime you get to see the two of them on a panel together, it's hilarious. It is well worth the time.
Well, I would highly encourage any panels that they're on, you get there early and you get up front.
Yeah.
Also, we have, of course, Katie Manning. Now, it wouldn't be a Elihu 3 with the tagline, now with more velvet, without one of the Third Doctor's companions. Perfect. And actually, you can kind of say that Joe Grant was, you know, the definitive, well, you know, Sarah Jane or Joe Grant would really be the definitive Third Doctors companion. Mm-hmm. You know, the go-to when you think of, you know, hey, who's companion of the Third Doctor? Correct. And speaking of companions, we have the very first companion, Miss Carol Ann Ford.
Right.
You know, who, of course, traveled with, you know, the First Doctor, you know, was his first companion, and actually has also done some Big Finish with Paul McGann. Yeah, you know, I don't know if you guys listened to Big Finish.
Nope, very
it's
familiar.
Definitely something to, definitely something to pick up.
Right, during the whole, well, the lead into the Dark Eyes series and the close of Lucy Miller's era, we did a couple of episodes on that because of all the questions that it raised again, hearing, you know, Susan's involvement once again, and had us hypothesizing, as we do, so.
Well, and since we're talking about Big Finish, we might as well talk about, he's done a lot of Big Finish as well, but he's everybody's favorite Santarin. Commander Strax himself, Dan Starkey.
I can't wait for this.
Oh, yeah. Dan's a wonderful person. And like so many of us, he's a huge Doctor Who fan. You know, he grew up watching the show. And, you know, it's really nice to have people working on the show, both cast and crew, that grew up loving the show and just, you know, came of age watching it. And enjoying it and loving it and made it part of their life and made it part of their professional life.
Mm-hmm.
Back in Classic Who, we have Janet Fielding, who of course played Tegan, you know, who was, you know, true, she did show up in Tom Baker's final story, but yeah, you know, of course, you know, was the Fifth Doctor's companion.
Absolutely. Right. Part of the classroom. Yeah.
Yes, the crowded TARDIS. We have Annette Badlan, who was, of course, you know, I can never pronounce this name, so I'm going to butcher it. And, yeah, I look forward to your letters. Blondfell Foch, Pasimir Day. You know, she's coming. And, of course, you know, our own godfather, you know, Fraser Hines coming back to Elihu to spend some time with us. You know, Fraser is truly, you know, one of the class acts in Doctor Who fandom, you know, in you know, the Doctor Who universe, with just being the most outgoing person I can ever think of.
Mm-hmm.
We have Wendy Padbury coming back.
Yeah.
And of course, she played Zoe also in the Second Doctor's era. And since we're talking about the Second Doctor's era, I guess we should probably talk about our guest of honor himself, Derek Sherwin. Now, he was the producer towards the end of Patrick Troughton's The Second Doctor's Era.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, I mean, some of the things that he created, you know, we still use today. I mean, he introduced the sonic screwdriver. You know, he created the character of the Brig and UNIT and cast John Pertwee as the Third Doctor. You know, it's really wonderful, and we're so happy to get him as a guest here at Elihu 3, it's really our honor to call him our guest of honor.
Absolutely. And I've discussed this with Jay at length before. I often find that a lot of these conventions, being able to have an opportunity to speak with the writers, the directors, the script editors, the principal creators behind this is often more informative or interesting than talking with the talent. Not that it's not fantastic to get a chance to meet and greet the on-screen personalities, but the movers and shakers that craft the show that we love so much is just an amazing opportunity, and I can't wait to be able to hear from him as well.
Speaking of people behind the scenes, we have Gary Russell. Now, Gary Russell he's done every single thing you could think of on Doctor Who, it seems. You know, he's been a writer, an editor, producer, director. He's worked on Torchwood, on Sarah Jane Adventures, Wizard and Aliens. I mean, he's written so many books. I sat down with him once and we counted, and I think he's written for every Doctor up to, I want to say that he's written for the 11th, and I don't think he's written for the 12th. But, you know, the first 10 he's written something for at some point or another. Wow. And speaking of the 11th Doctor, you know, tangentially here, we have Nina Toussaint-White, who played Mels.
Right.
And she's coming back to Long Island. She came for L.I. Geek. She was unable to attend last year at L.I. Who 2. She came to L.I. Geek, and she loved Long Island so much, she's coming back. And we have some special things with Nina that I'd like to tell you about.
Okay.
she's doing a special photo shoot, and we have a screen accurate costume for her as Mels, and she will be doing the photo shoot in that costume. Yeah, you know, for all you cosplayers that have, you know, this desire to take a picture with her, you know, please be aware that, you know, we do have available a special photo shoot with her in her dress as Mels. She's also going to be hosting an exclusive yoga workshop.
Oh, really?
Now, keep a look on our website. The tickets for the yoga workshop should go on sale sometime this month. I don't have a date on that.
Okay.
And if, you know, there are openings available at the con, they'll be made, you know, they'll be available for purchase at the con. However, you know, something like this, I'm not in the business of, you know, telling people, you know, hurry up and buy. But this is one of those things that if I was such a person, I'd do.
Okay.
And of course, you know, like I said, keep an eye out for the special photo shoot. It will go on sale before the convention. Just keep your eye out for it. You know, and that's our current guest list as it stands right now. You know, we do have some other guests. I'm sorry, I forgot to mention. We spoke earlier about behind-the-scenes people.
Mm-hmm.
We have David J. Howe from Telos Publishing.
Oh,
we
okay.
We have Richard Dinnick, you know, who's written a bunch of stuff for Big Finish. John Peel. John Peel's written War of the Daleks, Legacy of the Daleks, and also did the Target novelizations for the vast majority of the Dalek books.
Mm.
You know, the Dalek episodes. And we have Sam Stone coming back, and we have Graham Burke, and we have our usual Rogues Gallery of presenters. Yeah. Tara's coming with her TARDIS, and Barnaby Edwards from DWNY. Not Dalek operator, Barnaby Edwards. Josh Friedman's coming back. We have the artists from Pixel Who, and Kat Smith's performing again. Brian Terranova's going to be presenting. And of course, we have Stephen Schimpansi's coming from Radio Free Scar.
Great.
You know, and we're not done yet, folks.
So no hints as to anyone not yet in the roster.
Fine. You want a hint?
That'd be nice.
It's somebody that was on Doctor Who from August 5th, 2005, between that date and November 23rd, 1963.
Okay.
All right. Well, can you keep a secret?
That narrows it down. Oh, yeah, sure.
We can keep a secret. This hasn't aired yet, so.
Yeah, so can I.
Excellent.
Nicely done.
Sorry, guys.
Well, with a lineup like that, which sounds like it's a good percentile larger than you had the previous year, that explains a lot of the growth in the attendance. You know, based on how crammed we were getting into the space last year, and it was announced soon thereafter, actually right around the time that the LIHU 2 unveiled, or the time when people first started rolling in to pick up their tickets, that, by the way, next year, new venue, we've got to go a little bit bigger.
Actually, yes, that was in our program last year.
Mm. So I note a little bit bigger, because it seems like there's a conscious effort to make sure that the convention, while it does grow but through its own admission, it does not want to grow too far.
Well, we are expanding our ticket sales, our attendees. You know, we are adding to that number, but we also are moving to a larger venue. Now, when I say a larger venue, I'm not talking about the Jacob Javits Convention Center. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about something huge. It's a larger hotel. It's the Hyatt Regency in Hop Hog, and it's a gorgeous hotel. The halls are wider. The ceilings are higher. It's also very pretty.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, yeah, I'm not one for aesthetics. However, you know, there's these great designs on the wall that kind of look like roundels, which, you know, we fell in love with. It's got an indoor pool. It's got these wonderful views. It's, I don't know, 8-9 stories tall. It's really something that I've been there several times for my fire department's, you know, events, you know, our annual dinner. And it's just fantastic. It's beautiful. It's nice. It's it's a place that I definitely think you got to see. And I know you will see this November 13, 14, and 15.
Excellent. Well, with that larger space and the ability to be able to accommodate a larger number of attendees, how are we looking right now for badge and ticket availability?
Well, since you asked, and I'm glad you asked, badges, tickets are still available. You know, we are at the same price point for a 3-day badge through the end of the month. This recording is in early August. So through August 31st for a 3-day event, and mind you, LIHU this year is not starting midday on Friday.
Okay.
We're going to run a full Friday schedule. We're going to run a full Saturday and a full Sunday.
Okay.
So for those 3 days, as an adult, it's $85.69 for a child through the end of the month, August 31st. And then it goes up $10 on each price point, adult and child, from September 1st until we sell out.
Gotcha.
This year we have single day passes available. Excuse me. And for Friday, it's $45 for an adult and $25 for a child. Saturday, our big day, is $60 for an adult and $35 for a child. Now, Sunday, we try to do special programming for children, you know, more aimed at children. Mm-hmm. So those tickets on Sunday are $40 for an adult, $19 for a child. And as of right now, and I spoke to Ken earlier today, we definitely still have a limited amount. Not many. And in fact, you know, by the time this comes out, and I don't know when it's coming out, it's entirely possible that it may have sold out. But the Valyards package is currently available as of right now in limited numbers. That you get for the Valyards package, you get your 3-day general admission pass, right? That's for an adult. Mm-hmm. You get your program book, you get a ticket, and, you know, one ticket for admission to the Friday night dinner with the stars, and admission to the Sunday brunch with the stars, and one autograph from a specially selected guest, and a photo session with a specially selected guest. And that currently is $229. And those tickets are available currently in limited numbers. Now, if you've already bought your pass and you want to upgrade to that, you know, you can contact us and, you know, I'm sure that we'll be able to help you with that.
Excellent. Okay. Now, as far as some of the, you mentioned things like the dinner with the stars for Friday, the brunch on Sunday, which are great to attend, by the way, because it's always interesting to see how the how the talent starts to maintain their stamina. From Friday to Sunday, they start looking a little bit more rounded at the edges by the time Sunday morning rolls around. But as far as some of the other events that take place, you've got things like the cosplay, the chronological cosplay that they did last year. Are they planning on doing that lineup again? Were they?
I want to say yes. We called it the Time Lord Timeline. Mm-hmm. And there will be details on the website about that. And it was definitely something that, you know, the cosplay people, Jan and Amanda, really were interested in. Mm. And I spoke to Jan on Monday, and I believe they are doing it again.
Excellent. Okay. And the charity auction will be going off again, I hope?
The charity auction will be going again. And once again this year, our charity is the Little Flower Educational Fund. The Little Flower Educational Fund is, there's a school on Long Island here called the Little Flower School. Now, the school is completely funded by, you know, the government and grants and what have you. They're completely funded. However, what the Little Flower Educational Fund is something that's very dear to my heart. It's being able to take the kids out to a movie or bowling. It's now the Little Flower School is a it's a school out here on Long Island in Wading River that it serves children, families, and developmentally disabled adults. And, you know, it provides residential care and treatment. And it's definitely something that I can relate to, you know, I can empathize with. And, you know, the fund that, you know, the charity goes to takes them out to movies, out to, you know, ball game. It gives them the little extras that, you know, you really enjoy in life, you know, going bowling or anything. Mm-hmm. You know, that's what this fund provides money for. And it's something that we've you know, raised money for the last 2 years. I believe, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, and it's kind of sad because I've run the auction the last few years. we've raised over, I want to say, $7,000 or $8,000 the last 2 years, and it's a worthwhile cause. It's an honorable cause, and it's one that we're glad to support. And I can tell you, in the past, we've had some really amazing items in the auction. Yeah, we've had there was a convention in Chicago in 84, you know, and we had one of the convention posters last year.
Mm-hmm.
And it had, and this is just a few people on it, had Pertwee's signature, it had Liz Sladen's signature, it had Peter Davison, it had, it, basically it had 30 signatures, Anthony Ainley, J&T, so many great Doctor Who actors that are no longer with us. We had that last year. We had a autographed Doppel TARDIS set, autographed by Sylvester McCoy. These are things that, you know, we're lucky enough to have people give to us for this, and it's just, it's so wonderful. It's so fun to stand there and to auction these things off, raising money for such a good cause.
Mm-hmm. I remember last year when there was the knit doll of Paul McGann.
Yes, yes.
In his distressed Eighth Doctor, the Knight of the Doctor outfit he was wearing, and the auction was getting pretty heated for a little while, and it seemed like it was starting to wind down when he entered the back of the hall, because he and Colin Baker were having their panel next, and when he saw what was up on the block, didn't he offered to. Not
I believe
only.
He offered to meet the fan that bought it. I want to say that was what was going, that was included, you know, but the memory cheats, as they say.
And that's when things just blew wide open and it suddenly jumped by an extra figure or so. It was a great experience. It was a great thing to be involved with. And I came home with quite a bit myself from that auction. So
yeah, I remember, and I remember your better half, I think it was, you know, trying to talk you down. No.
trying to purchase on her behalf. And well, she was going to end up with that McGann doll if I had my way with it. But I lost out to one of our industry guests, I think, at the time.
No. I remember the lady that won, and she definitely was an attendee and not an industry guest.
Ah, okay.
I believe the item that you're thinking of was the poster that I actually just described.
Yes, from TARDIS 21. Yep.
Yes, TARDIS 21, not Chicago TARDIS, but a different convention named TARDIS.
Okay.
And yeah, I remember the look on your face, because I just happened to be looking in your direction when a gentleman went, and because I don't want to name names, went and bid way past what you could have bid. And,
yeah,
you know, I felt for you, but yeah, you know, not that much feeling, because the money went to charity. And
that's absolutely true. You know, and it all comes around again. He sank my battleship, but that's all right, because when we attended Galley a few months later, I was able to find another edition, a smaller edition of the same poster, signed by most of the same.
Actually, no, it was the same size.
Was it? Okay.
Yes. Oh, I was thinking about doing the dirty to you and outbidding you there, but I figured they're going to have me on their podcast someday.
Right.
I don't want to, you know, have my words edited to sound like I like to dance. Let me just not give you anything.
Yeah,
I was getting ready to write down some notes for editing.
Says he does not like to timestamp. Well, in sort of looking things over as far as some of those events that are going on, one of the things that I thought was an absolute gem, and I don't think, you know, because I got a chance, I had an opportunity as I was sitting there at the beginning of some of these panels with some of the handlers and such, and we started talking these things through as they were watching the assembly of all of their respective guest stars that they were minding, and brought them in for things like the game shows, where you had anywhere from 3 to 5 to 10 of them assembled on the panel at once, going through some of the most raucous versions, Whovian versions of classic game shows I've ever seen.
Well, that is that. Those generally are hosted by Josh Friedman.
Mm-hmm.
He's our director of nighttime entertainment, and these things are things that we've had fun with for years at other conventions. Our game shows are something that one of our Ken and I are members in a Star Wars group called Docking Bay 516. And great people, wonderful people. And we've worked with them, you know, at other conventions doing game shows. And when we had a con of our own, you better believe that we called, those were some of the people that we've called first. Mm-hmm. Because these game shows that, you know, are run, you know, and they've done them for years and they're so well done and well polished. It's one of those things that I'm irked that I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut off during the convention, because these are, I want to be there.
Right.
That's definitely the downside to running a con or working heavily for a con, folks. You don't get to have all the, you don't get to do everything you'd like to do at the con.
Mm.
And it's really, folks, these are things that you really got to take into account when you come to this convention. If you come, try to stay late into the late night programming if you're an adult. Yeah. The nighttime programming is some of the funniest, entertaining stuff you will see at our convention.
You're never going to look at Fraser Hines and Wendy Padbury the same again. Ever, 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 ever. Well, I have to say, in general, this is one of the, you know, Jay has had similar experiences with some of the very focused cons that he's attended down in the Texas area, and we've both been in agreement, separately but respectfully, that there's an intimacy to attending, and I use the term very carefully, smaller cons, non-national syndicated mega cons, because of the very point that you brought up at the beginning of the call, which was just the intimate nature of being able to at times literally rub elbows with the individuals that you've been just admiring on the screen for decades, perhaps. And it looks like this is going to be an absolute continuation, if not an embellishment of the same.
Well, there's something to be said to having breakfast in your hotel, you know, in the hotel restaurant, and looking up and seeing at the next table, you know, three or four people that flew in the TARDIS, you know, that traveled through space and time. And, you know, you look across the room and there's four women in TARDIS dresses, and look over there, somebody's cosplaying Jamie, and oh my god, somebody is, you know, cosplaying as a ice warrior. You know, and you know, it's truly being among your people when you come to a small fan run con like ours. I mean, if you come to our convention and you know nobody, you're not gonna know any, you know, you're not gonna know nobody come the end of your stay with us.
Yeah, that's very true. You end up, if you came alone, you're leaving with a lot of new friends and acquaintances as a result.
The amount of friend requests you're going to have to go through in the next few days is generally staggering.
Indeed. But that's all right. They've been well vetted by the Vortex.
Yes, absolutely, absolutely.
Well, we're definitely looking forward to it, and we'll keep the echoing and cheering on the announcements as they continue to come down the pike over the course of the next couple of months. As far as just general social network and web locales, where can they track all the info down?
Well, you can follow us on Twitter, and that is Long Island. Well, you're gonna have to check the hashtag, of course, first. And that's going to be hashtag LIWHO. And our Twitter handle, the official Twitter handle for the convention, is at LIDoctorWhoCon. That's LI Doctor spelled out, of course, because, yeah, we're Doctor Who fans. Doctor
proper.
Is never spelled DR.
Mm-hmm.
LIDoctorWhoCon. All one word, of course, on Twitter. You can find us on Facebook at LIWHO. You know, LIWHO. You can email us at gallifreyanevents@gmail.com. Our travel and our official travel agent is Linmar Travel Associates. You can call them if you want. If you have any travel needs or hotel needs, at 631-736-1049. Or you can email Marcia@visitlongislandnewyork.com. And since I'm talking about our travel agent, you know, for the hotel and whatnot, I don't know if you realize this, but we've announced a second overflow hotel.
Okay.
Of the Islandia Marriott. That's the Islandia Marriott Long Island, and that's located in Islandia, unsurprisingly. And you can reserve by calling or going to their website. And their phone number is 631-232-3000. That's 631-232-3000. And the current rate for the Marriott is $139 a night.
Okay.
You can, I believe that the Holiday Inn Express, which is our first overflow hotel at $125 a night, is completely booked. But you're welcome to give them a call. That's the Holiday Inn Express in Hauppauge. That's 877-834-3613. And the Hyatt Regency has been sold out for quite a while. Mm. You know, and that's been sold out. And, you know, I'm surprised that the rooms lasted as long as they did.
So if you're still planning on staying at the Hyatt, make sure you get to be really buddy-buddy with someone who's already roomed up and plan on piling on top of them.
Yes.
All right. Well, we still have months and months to go, so there's going to be a lot more information coming down the pike from the LI Who staff. And among them, Andre, we have to thank you so much for your time and your information tonight.
Not a problem. Less than 100 days to LI Who.
Less than 100. Do we have an official countdown timer going?
Well, Kat Isidore posts on Twitter occasionally with a countdown timer. I honestly don't know off the top of my head how many days. Honestly, I whenever I do a count and I realize it, I start breaking out in cold sweats and shaking and going, oh my God, am I going to be able to finish all the work in time?
I can't begrudge you that the amount of running around that I see you and your staff doing over the course of that weekend is Herculean, but please do note for anybody who is attending or is planning on attending, get your ribbon orders in now.
Yeah, we are a pro ribbon convention. I haven't figured out what I'm doing this year. I haven't quite settled on anything yet. I also would like to say, as you well know, we are a pro podcast convention. You know, we definitely love podcasters. You know, Ken, of course, does Doctor Who, an occasional podcast, and I can be found, you know, wherever people are stupid enough to say, yeah, sure, you can come on. Or sure, you can record things, such as this one. I'm sorry.
That's fair.
But, you know, we're pro podcasts, we're pro ribbons. You know, come have fun. You know, come to the con, have a good time, have fun. I know we are.
Without question. All right. Well, we thank you once again. It's Andre Tessier from the Long Island Doctor Who conventions in Long Island, New York, coming around to you in November. The dates again, sir, one more time, November.
November 13, 14, and 15. It's the weekend after Veterans Day or Remembrance Day if you're in Canada or England or Australia. And, yeah, we definitely have a nice crowd coming in. You know, we have people from Australia, we have people from England, people from Canada. Last year we had, I believe, 48 of the 50 states were represented. Heck, we even had somebody flying from Pakistan.
Fantastic. Nice. Well, we're not gonna pressure you into saying act now, but act now. So get yourself out there. Get yourself on.
Tickets are selling well and briskly.
They are fast and or furiously. So until then, Andre, if we don't see you before then, we will see you in November, and I'm sure we'll be talking to you soon. Thanks again for your time.
Oh, my pleasure. Anytime.
Thanks for joining us for another episode of Gallifrey Public Radio. Join us each week for new episodes. We love getting feedback from listeners, so don't hesitate to share your thoughts with us. You can email us at feedback@gallifreypublicradio.com. Tell us on Twitter @GallifreyRadio,
or on Facebook at facebook.com/Gallifrey Public Radio. You can also leave us a voicemail for inclusion in future shows at 210-802-1477. That's 210-802-1GPR. You should also go to GunnaGeek.com and check out lots of other high-quality geek-centric shows, or visit forums.GunnaGeek.com to talk about anything geeky with us or the community.
Gallifrey Public Radio is copyright 2015.